This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub. Independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizzicato pizza, and all-new seating. Located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland, 503-232-5511 or laurelhursttheater.com.
Well, good morning. My name is Ed Goldberg, and truly the good and the bad, the ugly, Teddy. This is our best and worst show, our annual show, usually the first show in January. I'm here with my friend and colleague,
D.K. Holm,
of
the moviepoopshoot.com column, Nocturnal Admissions.
Nocturnal Admissions. And Dawn Taylor?
Of the Portland Tribune and DVDjournal.com.
Okay. We have a couple of announcements. Let me do this one quickly. Clinton Street Theater has a couple of really interesting films. Aristide and the Endless Revolution, playing January 14th to 19th, except on the 16th, when there are three short films about Martin Luther King. One titled Martin Luther King, three of his closest friends, plus his widow, voiced their sentiments and assessments. I Have a Dream, The Life and Times of the Civil Rights Leader, and Martin Luther King Jr. from Montgomery to Memphis. That's at the Clinton Street Theater. Yes.
And I had an announcement about the little shop Video Underground, which is located on 30th and Hawthorne. Excuse me, Southeast 30th and Belmont. Always mix up those streets. Ever have since I was a kid.
So it's actually like 28th, 29th, somewhere in the middle of the block.
Yeah, just before the intersection, the lighted intersection. Anyway, the shop is going out of business, sadly. But it is now in the process of selling all of its merchandise. I was walking down the street yesterday and saw the big sign, liquidation sale, went in there and came away with five or six very inexpensive DVDs and tapes. And a lot of them were art films and such. So today is their last day of this fire sale, and I'm sure there'll be some really great bargains in there. Anyway, it's around 28th and Belmont, and it's Video Underground, and they're going out of business.
Okay, and even though today is our best and worst show, we will do a couple of reviews of current films, and we have a giveaway. What's the giveaway today?
Today it is Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
This is the one, I think, where they go find the dead Spock and bring the battery cables, and they juice them up with those.
All I know is that the box, the back of the box, has a picture of Christopher Plummer on it with an eye patch. And it is a two disc set with all sorts of extras, and if you're a Star Trek.
Okay, so we'll tell you when to start calling it about that. Okay, let's start with Film Geek. Now, Doug, are you actually going to review this movie? Don't you have a vested interest in a way? I mean,
which makes me the perfect person to review it.
Okay, well, tell us about it. Since you actually participated in this thing, tell us about it.
Well, it's directed by James Westby, who is a Portland resident. He's done two or three movies, Bloody Mama and a few others. But this is certainly his most polished film, and it is about a guy that works in a video store who it kind of annoys everybody because he's sort of an expert, but he has zero social skills. In the course of the movie, he gets a crush on a kind of a gothy girl that hangs out in the coffee shop, and who has broken up with her boyfriend, and but the video store guy named Scotty Pelk, correctly, has difficulty really connecting with her, too, and things go sort of disastrously. I appear in the movie at the end, but I won't explain why, because it's I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but he has fantasies of achieving fame through his website, an authoritative film website. And not only do I appear in the movie, but so does Sean Levy of The Argonian and David Walker, of the Willamette Week, all playing ourselves.
Admirably, I must say.
Oh, well, it's amazing what you can squeeze in the 15 seconds of screen time. It really is. I was really impressed with the movie, especially in the 70 minutes before I show up. The first 70 minutes are really quite good. Mm-hmm. It's really well photographed for a digital thing. It's also really kind of a sad story, and it is also very recognizably human. All the characters in the movie, it's as if Westby was making a movie about my life and people I know. Everybody is so real and recognizable. I really like that. I think it's an A movie. I was really pleased that it got so much attention at the Sarasota Film Festival, at which I think it won an audience award or something like that, and then was picked up by a company called First Look, which is distributing it across the country.
Excellent.
It's all very exciting.
Yeah. I liked it also. I'm not sure I was quite as in love with it as you, but it's really an adorable little movie.
Well, you weren't in it.
That's
so,
true.
You know,
that's absolutely, I knocked it down a letter grade for that. But the actor is named Melek Malkasian, who plays the film geek.
Yes.
And he's one of these guys, you know, like you walk into most video stores and they can't even tell you what's on the shelves. But every now and then you run into somebody who says, why are you getting that one? That's not the letterbox version. Don't you want to see the whole screen the way the director intended for you to see the film? And somebody in the movie says, oh, does that mean I get the black bars at the top and bottom? I don't like those, you know. You're right. I know an awful lot of people like this, myself included. Also, the young woman he falls in love with is an actor named Tyler Gannon, and she's I liked her. This is just an adorable film. I think Malkasian is a find. He does everything. He can do motor mouth. He can do sad. I mean, the guy really has some acting chops, and it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching this movie saying, this is beautiful. Portland looks beautiful. The film itself, high definition video,
yeah.
I suppose. This is a really nice little film. You look great in this movie. So.
And is Mr. Holm convincing as himself?
Absolutely. In fact, I look at him and say, wow, he's just like himself. It's just what you say when you see somebody laid out, you know. Wow, he looks just like himself. This is a fun little movie. I give it a B+. If you can see it around, is it going to be at the Hollywood?
It starts at the Cinema 21, I believe, this Friday.
Okay, Film Geek. Nice little movie starring Portland and D.K. Holm. Now you saw Hoodwinked, Dawn. Tell us about Hoodwinked.
Hoodwinked is the Weinstein Brothers' attempt to get into the animation business, jostling elbow and shoulder and tooth and nail with Pixar and DreamWorks and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think perhaps because this is their first effort and because of the sort of rudimentary quality of the animation, they decided to dump this film in January rather than let it compete with the very animation-heavy seasons that we had last year. There were a lot of animated films that came out last year. It is the story of Little Red Riding Hood. We begin with Red going through the woods on her way to Granny's house, comes in, sees the wolf, doesn't fall for it for a second, by the way. and the wolf, who's voiced by Patrick Warburton and is hilarious, and as she keeps criticizing his big teeth and his big eyes, and he responds with things like, you know, all the better to deal with your never-ending criticisms. So it's very funny, and the woodsman comes, Granny's there, and they end up all getting arrested and for creating a disturbance, and a frog named, I can't remember his name, he's a frog detective played by, voiced by David Ogden Steers, doing kind of a thin man sort of a thing, shows up, and he's trying to sort out what actually happened. And from that point on, you get to see every character's version of the story and how they came to that climactic moment in Granny's house. And it's the story of a search for a goodie bandit who is stealing all of the recipes from all the goodie shops in the woods so that they're all going out of business. And what this has to do with everyone in Red Riding Hood.
So it's Red Riding Hood meets Rashomon.
A police procedural. And it's actually very clever and it's very funny. Anne Hathaway does the voice of Red Riding Hood, doing kind of a Janine Garofalo, a Daria deadpan sarcasm thing. Andy Dick does the voice of a bunny who keeps showing up
and is involved in some way.
And it's... besides the fact that the animation is really kind of unattractive at times, it's very bulbous and round and sort of 3D and not very nice to look at most of the time. And the fact that there are a couple of places where it just draws to a dead stop because of bad, stupid, pointless songs, including one extended scene where we have to watch Red Riding Hood be sad while listening to a mushy pop song by Ben Folds called Red is Blue. But other than that, the film itself is actually very clever. It's very well written. Patrick Warburton, as always, is hilarious as the wolf. And I would have to give it, despite the only thing that really killed it for me were the bad, bad musical numbers. So I'd have to give it a a B, B minus, and really I'd have given a much higher score if there hadn't been these awful songs.
I need an on-the-fly decision from you guys. Now, we're going to be giving away this DVD, but we're also going to be doing a call-in later for our when people want to tell us their best and worst to talk to us. Should we have people start calling in now and get the phones
cleared
up?
Get that out of the way? Yeah,
yeah,
maybe we should do that.
Okay, first one to call, 503-231-8032. Is the owner of Star Trek. Please be a KBOO member. That would be a really good thing.
Yes, get the, okay, the Star Trek movie that we don't know what it's about, except that Christopher Plummer wears an eye patch.
I saw all of those things, and they've passed from my memory. How about that? Okay, Casanova, playing in theaters now. Casanova is directed by the sliding down the hill into nothingness Lasse Hallström, who started out with My Life as a Dog, which is one of the great movies I've ever seen.
And that could be the title of this movie.
That's true. Stars Heath Ledger, Sienna Miller, Jeremy Irons, Lena Olin, Oliver Platt, and others. This is a really gorgeous film. The costumes, Venice. You can't take a bad picture of Venice, but it's really silly. And it didn't involve me emotionally or in any intellectually at all. Ledger and Miller, Sienna Miller, I mean, they're adequate. You know, they're there to look good, and that's exactly what they do. The best work in this film is done by the people who do the secondary roles. Oliver Platt is wonderful. Casanova has a manservant played by Omid Jalili, who's also extremely funny. The smaller roles are really the best thing in this film. It's not bad, but it's, you know, really no big deal. I can't urge you to go out and see it unless you just want to see a vapid costume drama with a couple of laughs in it. I give it a B-. Dawn, you saw this, Jackie.
I did see this. This is one of those films that I really wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. And my experience in watching this film was from watching and thinking, okay, this could be clever, this could be sweet, this could be nice, then to continually thinking it was stupid and irritating. And by the film's last act, I just hated it.
Did you?
I was just sitting there grinding my teeth and wanting it to be over. Ledger was fine. Sienna Miller is an attractive woman, but completely unremarkable in every way. I agree with you about the secondary characters. Oliver Platt in particular is quite good. But the problem is, it's a film that looks really pretty. Lasse Hallström does know how to make a good-looking movie. The acting is all everything it needs to be. The people are all quite good in the roles, but it's so badly written. It is just so convoluted for the sake of being convoluted. It's completely plot-driven. People do things for no good logical reason other than the fact that they're supposed to be this convoluted, mistaken identity plot with people pretending to be other people and getting confused and doing, when in many points in the film you think to yourself, there's no good reason for him to be telling that lie. What does he have to gain by telling her that? And ultimately, there's things in the plot. It was written by a first-time screenwriter and then completely overhauled by a team of script doctors, and it's just a big mess. And it also is just, it's one of those Shakespeare in Love kind of movies that has nothing to do with reality whatsoever. So there's this made-up backstory about Casanova having mommy issues because God knows you got to make something up to make Casanova interesting.
Right.
And ultimately, at the end, I have to admit, you know, without giving the ending away, because I think we can all guess that however it resolves, it's going to have a happy ending because it's one of those kind of movies. And I leaned over to my husband and said, and he gave her 14 kinds of syphilis, and they lived happily ever after.
Well, that's because, okay, because she didn't live that long in those days anyway.
But so, because as licentious as Casanova is supposed to be, it's all very lighthearted and cute. He's very cute, which I always thought of Casanova as being a little bit seedier than that, you know? He's Heath Ledger, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So I would give this movie, oh my God, I give it a C minus. It was awful. I just, by the end of this movie, I was just pounding myself in the head and saying, end, damn you, end.
Well, isn't awful like a D minus? I mean, isn't C is like...
Well, but again, like I said, though, it's pretty to look at. It's a good-looking movie. The acting is all fine. But I don't know. I'm terrible with letter grades. Let's give it a G.
Okay.
They're all sort of arbitrary to me anyway.
For general audiences. Okay, so that's Casanova. None of you guys saw this Walmart doc, did you?
No.
Okay. This will be the last of films we'll be reviewing. Oh, you know what I forgot to tell everybody? I'm going to mention this again. We now have an email address for Movie Talk. If people want to email Movie Talk, it's kbomovietalk@yahoo.com. And if you just do movietalk@yahoo.com, you'll get somebody else. So don't do that. kboomovietalk@yahoo.com.
Send us the love, people. Send us the love.
Yeah, or you know, criticisms too. We occasionally get critical comments, and they're, you know, we laugh at them before we crumple them up and throw them away.
So how do I read it? Is there a password?
I'll just have to forward everything to you guys, which I'll be happy to do.
Okay.
Okay, the Walmart documentary directed by Robert Greenwald, who's done a couple of these investigational agitprop documentaries.
They're through move.org usually,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a stacked deck, you know. Guess what? Walmart is vile, exploitative, anti-union, and vaguely fascist. Is this something we don't know? It's a big propaganda documentary about a big fat target, but it's not even very well done. I don't think it's paced well. I think the juxtapositions are quite obvious. They show you this nice little mom and pop business that's going out of business because of the big bad Walmart that's opening up outside of town. But there's some doubt about the complete truth of some of these stories. For example, I have read in publications that I trust that this family was going out of business anyway, and Walmart really had nothing to do with it. It's just, you know, they found that this business was going under, so he just, you know, juxtaposed the two as though one had something to do with the other. Aren't they bad enough? Do we really have to make stuff up about them? I mean, but this is the kind of film you go to just to reinforce your own prejudices. So I say, you know, if that's really what you want to see, go ahead. I gave the movie a C+. It really, really should have been much better than that. Okay, so let's remind people we talked about Film Geek. Nice little movie, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. In spite of your personal interest. Hoodwinked?
Not bad. Good. Take the family.
Casanova, you can avoid it. You don't have to see this movie. It's not even a pizza rental, I don't think. And the Walmart documentary, only for the faithful. Go see that. We must have a winner of our DVD.
I wonder who that would be.
I don't know, but we'll find out in the fullness of time.
Jimmy Joe McCoy of Southeast Portland. You have... I'm just making
okay,
stuff up.
Okay, we're about to do our best and worst of 2005. Not a bad year. Great year, but not a bad year. Dawn, why don't you start?
Well, we hadn't actually talked about how we were going to present these, so mine are all in alphabetical order.
Whatever you like.
I didn't go from, like, best to worst.
Here's what we'll do. We'll do the best.
Okay.
We'll do the worst, and then if you have any other categories, like I have honorable mentions, then we can do those, okay?
Should I mention at all why I like them or hate them? Just give a list.
Just if you can do it in a sentence or less.
Okay. On my best list, because of the alphabetizing process. Top of the list was The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which I enjoyed because, you know, smart adult R-rated comedies seem to be coming back, and this was far funnier than I ever expected it to be. Brokeback Mountain, which, you know, gotta love the gay cowboy movie. Capote, gotta love the gay writer movie. A History of Violence. I am a longtime David Cronenberg fan, and I also love gritty pulp fiction kind of crime dramas, and I just found this movie to be complex and well-written, and I just loved it to death. My favorite film of the year, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which was a cynical, irreverent comedy noir that was an homage to Raymond Chandler, just skewering every cinematic stereotype gleefully. Kung Fu Hustle, Stephen Chow's follow-up to Shaolin Soccer, which was cartoonish martial arts fun, which I enjoyed immensely. Murderball, the documentary about quad rugby, which made movie stars of some of the most unlikely people possible. But Mark Zupan, hot, hot, hot. Old Boy, Chan-wook Park's nihilistic revenge flick, which just delighted me no end, because like D.K. Holm, I'm a sick, sick person. despite my reservations that I'd be labeled a unrelenting fangirl, Serenity was one of my favorite films of the year. Just a good popcorn-munching sci-fi western. And Sin City. Had to put Sin City on there because just of the technological achievement alone, but I am a longtime Frank Miller fan, and I felt that he and Robert Rodriguez really, really brought the comic to the screen really, really well.
Doug, you want to do your best?
Yes, I do. I'll just read the titles in a second, but I did want to preface the list with the usual codicils about I didn't see everything. I don't even really like 10 best lists that much, although they're kind of useful for going to reminding you what you saw in the course of a year. But the most important thing is, you know, I didn't see all the movies that came out. The thing is, I really want to, but I missed a lot of art films, such as there are that are released in Portland anymore, and I missed a lot of the documentaries that I may want to see. But all that being said, I guess my favorite movie of the year was A History of Violence. That was followed by kind of a co-best film of the year, Sin City and King Kong. I also, this may shock people, I also thought that the final Star Wars movie is one of the best films of the year, that Sith movie. And I also like War of the Worlds quite a bit. I think that Spielberg's doing interesting things late in his career. just on pure visceral fun level, I really like Mr. and Mrs. Smith and the two films in this new genre I've discovered called film glacé, Ice Harvest and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, both take place around Christmas. I think I would take three movies and four movies and link them together as a best film experience of the year. That would be, and they're all political films, Good Night and Good Luck, Syriana, Munich, Spielberg's other movie of the year, but also Paradise Now, which played at the Hollywood for a week.
Which I missed, yeah.
If you see all four of those movies together, they all make one great viewing experience, even though individually the films don't succeed quite as much as they as well. And then just finally a bunch of genre pictures that I thought were pretty good. Assault on Precinct 13, a movie everybody hated. Mindhunters, a movie everybody hated. High Tension, a movie everybody hated. And also, as far as comedies go, the first 15 minutes of The Wedding Crashers, and of course, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and then I'd also add that I, too, liked Old Boy. And I finally caught up with Wallace and Gromit and The Were-Rabbit and got a kick out of that, but I'm not much of a fan of animation. So that's my list.
Okay. My best, and again, I didn't see things like Paradise Now, but you never can really see everything. Bad Education, the Almodovar film, which I thought was quite an amazing film. Three Iron, the Korean film, which I still think about. This guy, Ki-duk Kim, is really an amazing director. Saraband, an Ingmar Bergman movie, which I thought was really quite brilliant. Serenity, the best popcorn movie of the year, the best science fiction movie in a long time. History of Violence, Curse of the Were-Rabbit, Wallace and Gromit score again. Good Night and Good Luck, Capote, The Ice Harvest, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which I thought was the best of the Potter films so far. King Kong, it's an amazing piece of work. Transamerica, I had some doubt about putting this on because it's not even going to show in Portland until later this month. So, you know, go see it anyway. Munich and Brokeback Mountain, which I just saw yesterday, and is an amazing piece of work. And to see Heath Ledger in that after seeing Casanova, and you say, is this the same actor? Documentaries, Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, they were scarier than you think. And Winter Soldier, the 1972 revival documentary, which everybody should see.
It was a surprising year, actually. I mean, the last few years, it's been difficult to put together a top 10 list because there were so few movies that really stood out as being good.
We had an abundance this year.
And this year, there were a lot of really terrific films.
Do you guys have an honorable mention list, or can I go through that really quickly?
I do have an honorable mention list, but it's of film books. So there's only two or three titles, so why don't I come back to that a little bit later?
Well, wait, no, if it's only two titles, go ahead.
There's two or three titles. If you're interested in film, boy, I'll tell you, there were some really good books this year. Unfortunately, one of the better ones was kind of expensive. It was this big Stanley Kubrick archive book. Cost $200. But if you're a Stanley Kubrick nut, that's really important. Kubrick also enjoyed the publication of his, you know, you got to start at Look magazine. And Faden gathered together all of his Look photographs for one great big book. I would say that the two books really stand out as the best film books of the year. One is Joe Bob Briggs' book, Profoundly Disturbing, Profoundly Erotic. Profoundly Disturbing was his earlier book. Profoundly Erotic, which is his history of 10 movies that changed the way we watch movies. It is both hilarious and also serious film history and criticism.
John Bloom is a lot smarter than he gives himself credit
Absolutely.
For, yeah.
And another book that I really, really enjoyed, it's kind of a throwback to the old fashion style of criticism where they actually talked about things in the movie instead of, you know, Freudian things and sites of, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's called Mizoguchi and Japan by a guy named Mark LaFenu. And it was just delightful, a great piece of criticism and an entree into an aspect of Japanese cinema that, you know, it's really great and we don't get a chance to see too much of.
Okay. Excuse me. My honorable mention list, The Woodsman. Amazing Kevin Bacon performance. Callas Forever, which I liked a lot. A little biopic about Maria Callas. The Aristocrats. I laughed all the way through this movie, but it's not for everybody. I have to... The 40-Year-Old Virgin, I laughed all the way through that, too. The Squid and the Whale. This movie has gotten better in my mind as time has gone by. Jesus is Magic, Sarah Silverman. Lenny Bruce is alive and well, and her name is Sarah Silverman. Fear and Trembling, the French film from early in the year about a woman working for a Japanese corporation whose entire life is subsumed into the corporation, and Sin City. And just quickly, the most overrated film of the year is Crash, which I thought was a big, turgid piece of crap with good performances. Let's do a worst list.
Much like Doug, I did not see every film this year, and I was lucky. I dodged a lot of bullets this year. I didn't see The Honeymooners. I didn't see the remake of Yours, Mine, and Ours. I didn't see Elektra. I didn't see Aeon Flux. Some of the movies that were considered the worst movies of the year, in fact, many of them, I managed to avoid altogether, so I count myself lucky. So going purely on the movies that I saw that I just hated, I completely forgot about Assault on Precinct 13. That would be one of them. Oh, I hated that movie. Hide and Seek, the De Niro film with Dakota Fanning. Ice Princess, Michelle Trachtenberg on skates. The Amityville horror remake. Skeleton Key with Kate Hudson. Kingdom of Heaven, Ridley Scott's overblown going off to the Crusades movie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
The headache-inducing, nauseating Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl in 3D. the Will Ferrell comedy. You can't see it. I'm doing the finger quotes. Comedy, kicking and screaming. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a film that did not need to be made and was awful. Prime, again, using the finger quotes, comedy with Meryl Streep. Stealth. And probably the movie I loathed the most, Fantastic Four. I actually had to sit through that. And that's actually 11. I could probably go on. But like I said, I managed to miss a lot of the really, really bad ones.
I missed a lot of the ones you mentioned, too, Doug.
Boy, you sure saw a lot of bad ones. That's for sure. To me, a worst of the year list is a list comprising films that had high aspirations but somehow failed. I mean, we all know that The Honeymooners is going to be horrible, and so we don't even need to go see it, really.
Exactly.
But if you go to see something like The Interpreter that's got a pedigree, you think, well, this should at least be good or interesting, and instead it's horribly boring. So with that in mind, the kind of movies that I dislike this year, movies that had high aspirations and failed them, or movies that kind of betrayed their genre in some horrible way. So these are those movies. The Interpreter, The Ring 2, Amityville Horror, Undead, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, again, a movie that did not need to be made and does not need to be seen unless you're having trouble getting to sleep. George Romero's Land of the Dead, which I think should put a final nail in the coffin of his overblown reputation as a great filmmaker. The Fantastic Four, I'm with Don on that. And The Constant Gardener for messing up a really good John le Carré novel. And finally, this is controversial, You and Me and Everybody We Know. Boy, I really didn't like that. It's not a bad movie. It's just so terribly overrated for what it is.
That should go on the most overrated also.
Yeah.
On that, using your criteria, I'd have to add one to that list. The film I felt the strongest about was Cameron Crowe's Elizabethtown, which was a film that Cameron Crowe's a fairly reliable director, but my God, that movie was tedious and predictable and trite. It was everything that you kind of think Cameron Crowe isn't going to be, and it was just not good.
It looks so precious from the trailer. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Painfully precious.
Okay, my list of the worst, White Noise, House of D, David Duchovny, Time for You to Get That Condo in Florida, Bridge of San Luis Rey. Good Lord, that was awful. Green Street Hooligans, don't go see that movie. There's nothing noble or fun. I don't care if Elijah Wood is in it. It sucks. Derailed. I don't know what say about Derailed, except it Chicken Little, terrible, terrible in conception, terrible in design, terrible in execution, and Trumpets Please, the worst movie of the year, Bewitched, wherein Will Ferrell will soon retire the trophy as the worst film comedian in history.
Well, that's a really good list, Ed.
Yeah.
I love that list. That's fantastic.
You feel free to call it your own.
You talked about runners-up, though, and I would like to say there are a number of movies that you mentioned, that Doug mentioned, that didn't make, when I had to narrow it down to 10, things like The Aristocrats, which was just a wonderful film, Jesus is Magic. I also like to throw out Sky High, the Disney superhero movie, which was...
Didn't see that.
It was very funny and very clever and very... and a very good superhero film, and a film that you two did not like, but I liked quite a great deal, the Lars von Trier penned Dear Wendy, which I enjoyed that film. I know it left you cold, but I really found that movie. It's another film that it confused me while I was watching, but it stayed with me for days afterwards. I really found it intriguing.
It's a really problematic film, though. Yeah. I'm sure you'll agree. Okay, we don't have a... I'm sure there's a winner of the DVD. We don't have a name yet, but it is now time for you, the listener, to get a hold of us, 503-231-8187. We have a caller. We have two callers.
Oh, boy.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
I had a couple. Now, what was the remake of The Manchurian Candidate? Was that last year?
That was last year.
Pardon me?
That was last year.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
Well, no, I mean 2004.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that. There was another one. Oh, by the way, Frances Langford passed away. She was...
Yes.
I just thought I'd mention that.
Okay.
Well, thanks for bringing us down.
Well, you know, I've got a bunch of old U.S., USO films from World War II, and man, she was a sexy babe. I tell you that, could sing well too.
Mm-hmm.
But Downfall on the last days of Hitler, that was last year, wasn't it?
It was, and I managed to miss that somehow.
It was worth seeing. It really was. They really tried to adhere to history as best they could. Hitler, the guy that played Hitler, was. Could have been. I mean, there were a lot of technical details that they missed. Hitler was really a mess by the time he did himself in. You know, his hair turned gray. They didn't do that. The guy that played him had kind of dark brown eyes. Hitler had ice blue, cold eyes, and he by the time he did himself in, he just, you know, throughout most of his life, he was a real sharp dresser. I mean, spotless uniforms, but he had food. But when he died, he had food stains. You know, I mean, he had food.
Hey, listen, I don't mean to cut you off, but can we do this a little quicker? I'm sorry, we have a lot of people on.
Oh, I just wondered if you saw that.
No, we missed that. We missed that puppy.
Right.
Sorry.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, look at this. Our first caller, and you're ticking him off.
Yeah. Well, no. To that caller, we just needed to move this along. I apologize. Okay. Do we have another caller?
Yes, you do.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. I'm great.
Okay.
Now, I have to agree with you. You were saying that some of the worst movies should be in the list. First, movies that originally had aspirations, and this one definitely didn't, but it was a kid movie. Bad News Bears was the biggest train wreck, horrid movie I have ever seen. Completely offensive on every level. And it was made for children and families. I watched it on an airplane where there's literally nothing else to do, and I think I was losing hair by the end of it. It was absolutely horrid. So if you really want to have a Mystery Science Theater 3000 moment where you can just yell at the TV and interact, and it's much better than the movie itself, I recommend that one.
Uh-huh. Anything else? How about a good one?
That is the one I think that just repulsed me the most, and I couldn't think of anything else other than that one.
Well, what about a good one?
Yeah, what did you like this year?
What did you like?
What did I like? Well, I was out of the country for most of the year, and didn't get a whole lot of movie watching done. So I did get that one done on the plane, however. So I can't really think of anything I like. That one's pretty much clouding my judgment right now.
Well, so that was your film experience of 2005.
That was my...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, really.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great morning.
Thank you. You too. Caller, you are on the air. Good morning. Hello? Do we have a caller?
I guess not.
503-231-8187.
That was Dead Air, the title of a very good novel by someone named Ed Goldberg.
Thank you. That's nice of you to say. I believe we have a caller coming in.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, folks, for the show. It's really good. You saved me a lot of time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
my suggestion for the best and worst of the year is sort of a docu-tragedramedy, and it's a one-man stage play of George Bush as the compassionate conservative.
Okay, you're fudging on that one, but we'll accept it. Did you see an actual movie this year that you liked?
And that was on TV before it was actually in the theaters.
That's true. So it's out of consideration for that reason.
I did see one, I think it was from last year. I saw Ray. That's the last movie I've seen in about 15 years.
Oh, yeah, that was from 2004. Yeah, this is a great movie.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Well, just because to prove that we're just warning people off of movies.
Okay.
And not encourage them to go to
movies. But he reminded me, I didn't see it, but I Walked the Line wasn't on either of your lists.
Walked the Line, it was pretty good, but, pretty good.
I was not thrilled with it.
Oh, okay. Okay, we have another caller. Carlo, good morning. You're on KBOO.
Good morning. A movie that I was liked enough to see twice, which I seldom do, that you didn't mention, was 2046. And,
yes.
I'd like sometime to hear you do a program on Chinese film, not the kung fu stuff, but the serious stuff. And I was just quite entranced with it, maybe because I was in the military in the 60s.
Oh.
The world. And a movie I was a little disappointed with was Memoirs of a Geisha, again, because I understood that culture a little bit. I thought it was a typically American production and that a foreign company could have done a better job.
Well, it was beautiful and vapid is the way I described it. Big, empty movie, nothing much to it.
Well, and then I don't know if I don't listen to you guys all the time because I work. Have you discussed this kind of dichotomy between men's movies and women's movies? That was a woman's movie.
Yeah, allegedly a chick flick. That's correct. It's a soap opera. It's full of gushy romance and beautiful clothing.
Cinderella and her evil stepsisters.
I do believe there. I subscribe to the fact that there is definitely a genre called the chick flick and that it is aimed at women. But for the most part, I really don't think that there is such a thing as men's movies and women's movies.
Well, another thing about Chinese films, we talk about as many Chinese films as we can, the ones we see, and also are you on speakerphone?
No, I don't think so.
No, we're getting
feedback.
A feedback problem, yeah. Korean films are the Asian films that have impressed me the most over the last few years. It's the most imaginative and mind-blowing cinema. This Three Iron film is fabulous. And what was the one?
Old Boy was one we mentioned.
Yeah. That's. But there was the one about the woman with multiple sclerosis who's sexually attacked by a man that she winds up becoming his lover. That was about 2 years ago. What an amazing film. Asian movies, and not just the kung fu stuff, which I know you two guys love, are becoming my favorite films, actually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anything else?
Well, that's it. No, thanks again for your fine work.
Well, thank you very much. Do we have another caller? We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I think the biggest turkey is Bewitched. I agree with you on that.
Oh, you know, I used to love the show, back with 45 years ago. Could it be that long ago? 40 years ago. And it wasn't just that it sullied the memory of that show. It's that it was inherently terrible. It was direct.
And it starred Will Ferrell, and you hate Will Ferrell.
Yeah, but you see.
Because my cousin wrote that show.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
Ooh, well.
Bernard Slade, yeah.
Send him a Christmas card anyway. What
You're
can I tell
related
you?
To Bernard Slade?
Yeah, he's my cousin.
Good for you. I don't know why you should be congratulated for that, but what the heck.
Anyway, my favorite film of last year was Best of Youth.
Oh, I didn't. That was like a six-hour TV thing, was it?
Yeah, to me it was the most. For 6 hours, I sat compelled throughout the whole movie. And I just loved all the characters and the stories that how they intertwined and brought into that historical epic of that time.
Yeah, one of the New York Times guys put it on as the number one movie of the year, and it's about to come out on DVD, I think.
Yeah, and Sean Levy made Sean Levy's top 10 list. Yeah,
but it's a big screen movie. It's not a DVD movie.
Yeah,
but, I mean, even though I saw it at the film center, and my kneecaps felt like they were going to explode.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, really.
Film I liked last year was an Italian film called Don't Move with Penelope Cruz.
No, I never see that. I don't even know that.
I played at the film festival. And
see, he goes to the film festival.
Yeah, I've been neglecting that, unfortunately.
I used to go to the film festival.
Yeah, I did too. Well, I'm going to try to go again this year. Anything else?
Oh, gosh.
The film festival.
I just saw Squid and the Whale the other night, and it was an okay movie.
Uh-huh.
And I met Noah Baumbach in New York this fall, And I thought it was interesting talking to him and then going to see his movie.
Yeah, that's a movie that I liked okay when I saw it, but has gotten better and better in my mind, and that always means something to me.
If I don't remember the movie 2 days later, even though I liked it while I was watching, because when I go to a movie, I just immerse myself in it, and even if it's a crappy movie, I'll sort of take whatever I get from it.
Yeah.
And then I walk out, and if it's 2 days later, I don't remember a single thing that went on, and I just...
We understand that, yes.
But Bewitched was, I just wanted to vomit.
Well, yes, if you would please tell your cousin that he was responsible for many of my happiest childhood hours.
He wrote Love on a Rooftop. He wrote The Flying Nun.
Yep. Oh,
and
gosh.
The Partridge Family.
Okay. Hey, listen, thanks very much.
Okay, great. Take care. Bye-bye.
Do we have another caller? We do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Are you calling from your car?
I am.
Oh, have you pulled over to the side of the road?
I'm right-laning it slowly.
Okay, so. Good.
Oh, good. You got a line of people behind you, like, honking while you're calling us.
Well, listen, what would you like to tell us about?
Well, I would like to tell you that I disagree with you all about Crash.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm
and
offer
my humble opinion as to why.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in a car and you like Crash. That's
yes,
auspicious.
Yes. But I'm being careful.
Okay.
But I think that the core issue, of course, in Crash was race. And I think it's something that in order for white folks to really get to and really get the movie, you have to have some aspect of your life, either your job or a movement you're involved in or something where you're really in touch with that as a life issue.
Well, I understand that. The problem I had with the film was, number one, it relied way too much on the power of coincidence, which is, if you're going to make a fable, make a fable. This didn't seem to me to be a fable. So all these lives come together. There's no reason in the world why most of these lives should come together at all, and yet they do for the purpose of the film. That always strikes me as stagey. The other thing is, I understand that we have to reiterate for each generation, the problem of race. It just has to seem to be full of cliches, and the only thing that raised the movie for me at all was the level of performance in it. People like Don Cheadle, he can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. But I found the film obvious and put together with it was contrived, I guess, manipulative.
It could be because I work in juvenile justice. It was very real to me.
Mm-hmm.
It
was very real to me, and also because I'm not white. You know, race. It is a contrived issue, actually. And some of the things that I have to deal with on a daily basis are just absurd. You have no idea. And so the movie, it really reached me and I got to say, a lot of the white folks that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a matter of experience. And this is something, by the way, that I see happen all the time with film critics and ethnic movies. It's like you have to start at square one for white reviewers.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to agree with that characterization, but thank you for your call anyway.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Do we have another caller? We do. Good morning. You're on KABU.
Good morning. Well, how about the most irritating character in a movie?
All right.
Miranda July drove me crazy in her movie. Is she immature or what? And she was a stalker, and her clothes were terrible.
Well, which is, I want to know what's the worst of the three? Was it her clothes or?
Her immaturity.
Yeah. You know, the thing about that movie that irritated me is that she takes you right up to the brink of something truly revelatory, and then she backs away from it.
Totally.
She punked out. I believe the expression is punked out at a very, very important juncture in the film, and that knocked it down a whole letter grade for me, at least.
Rumor has it she's a rich child who just was given lots of money to do what she wanted, so.
Ah, well.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything else? Do you have a favorite film of the year?
I really loved Brokeback Mountain, although the ending was beyond disturbing, and I enjoyed Crash, and I appreciated your comments about Crash also. It made me think about it a bit more. It was pretty in your face.
Dawn has something.
I saw Crash, and I didn't dislike it to the degree that Ed did.
I didn't dislike it.
I, actually, I was torn with my as far as my feelings about it were, because in many ways I admired it as a film. It made me intensely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is because I think, you know, I grew up in that sort of atmosphere. I spent most of my life in Los Angeles, and there was a lot of truth to that film. But it, I think, I don't know, it ended up not being on my top 10 list, and I've thought about it over and over again as to whether or not it stayed off my top 10 because I didn't like it. And it had nothing to do with whether or not it was a good movie. It was the fact that it made me extremely uncomfortable, and there's absolutely no way I want to see that movie again because emotionally it made me very uneasy.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, did it make you uncomfortable for the right reasons?
I think so. I keep going back in that scene, particularly with Matt Dillon as the police officer, mm-hmm. when he's patting down Thandie Newton and feeling her up, and her husband is
standing there. That was a very disturbing scene.
Watching it completely powerless, and then their discussion later at home and her anger at her husband for not doing anything about it was very powerful to me. I thought.
But that character was played by, is Terrence Howard the
yes.
actor's name?
Yes.
He did a terrific job in that movie, and there's a denouement. I'm not going to say anything for people who haven't seen the film, but there's a denouement with that character at the end of the film that I found completely unbelievable. Completely unbelievable. How about a film you really hated besides You and Me and Everyone We Know? Hello.
Well, I'm blank on that one.
Okay,
how about,
well, that's good.
Is anyone gonna mention The Aristocrats?
Oh, yeah. Did you like it or hate it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It told me how really sick I am. And then I had to go see Sarah Silverstein.
Sarah Silverman. Yeah.
Silverman. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus is Magic. Just before we let you go, the first time I heard that joke, The Aristocrats.
Yeah.
My mother told me that.
Get out of here.
I swear it's true. But that's a whole other conversation.
You're
hey, listen.
Boy.
Thanks very
Thank
much.
You.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Coley. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I have a couple suggestions for both the in the good and the bad category here.
Okay.
So in the good category, I would say the movies that jumped out in my mind, especially, I particularly like Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We liked
really,
it, too.
Really, particularly the first story and the last story. The middle story with what's his name? Clive Owen, I thought was pretty mediocre, but the Bruce Willis story was really good, I thought, and what was the other one? The
Mickey Rourke one.
Mickey Rourke is excellent, yeah. Exactly. And let's see. Speaking of Terrence Howard, Hustle and Flow I thought was a pretty damn good movie as well. Excuse my language, I'm
That's
sorry
all
about
right.
that.
That made a lot of critics' lists this year, and it's nice to see that mm-hmm. it's getting some recognition.
Yeah.
What else?
And speaking again with Terrence Howard, this is in the other category. Crash. I would have to agree and say that it was pretty bad, actually. Same thing, like you were saying before, it's filled with cliches. I felt like I was beaten over the head with the idea of, you know, race and people needing to get some sort of, you know, mystical intervention or something to get this, you know, revelation as far as race. So. That was in the bad category. Let's see. I saw The Family Stone. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord.
I forgot
to put that on my list.
I was kind of dragged to that. And, oh, man, that was terrible.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And, okay, I'll say my other bad movie that I saw was Elizabeth Town. All three of these bad movies have the same sort of feature running through the three of them. They all had potentials to be. They all had the potential to be good movies, but they were all terrible, in my opinion, so. But yeah. Elizabeth Town is Cameron Crowe, and Cameron Crowe mm-hmm. makes good movies typically, you know?
Not this time.
Yeah, well, he
Not
has
this
made
time,
good
exactly.
movies. He's also made a bunch of clunkers, too, so this is another one.
Yeah.
Is that your list?
Let me see. I also saw Grizzly Man and Brokeback Mountain, which were also in my good movie categories. I think
Grizzly Man should have definitely been on the list, yeah.
Yeah. What's his name?
Vim Vendors.
Vim Vendors, yeah. I want to say Werner Fassbinder.
That's Werner Herzog,
right?
Werner Herzog. Vendors, Herzog.
All these German directors are interchangeable.
Those cranky German guys.
Movies, but
their buttons are nice.
I really want to see Incident Loch Ness now and
You should
Aguirre.
See that.
Yeah.
No, Doug hates it, but
Doug
we liked it.
Doug started having convulsions.
You don't want to be Werner Herzog's friend, I can tell you that.
That movie was really interesting as far as documentaries go, the Grizzly Man. It was really sort of awkward. A lot of the interviews were, it's much different than a lot of documentaries I've seen, and that stick out in my mind. That one was really sort of uncomfortable almost, especially when he's interviewing the friend who has the tape still.
Yeah.
That scene particularly. I don't know, that was a very different documentary, I thought.
Okay, well, listen, thanks very much. We have a bunch of callers stacked up behind you. Thank you.
Okay, great.
Okay, we have another caller. Good morning. You're on KBOO.
Good morning.
Hello.
What you got?
Hello.
Yeah, we're here.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you guys mention The Ballad of Jack and Rose. I thought that was a really good
film. I missed that one completely.
Did I?
Was that 2005? Was that the year before?
I thought
was the year before?
That might be 2004.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure.
We have no idea.
On video.
We see too many movies. What else you got?
Well, Grizzly Man, that was really excellent, too. Mm-hmm. That was probably the best film I've seen this year.
Uh-huh.
And,
is there anything that really annoyed you this year, this past year?
Well, I thought, Me, You, and Everyone We Know was kind of overrated, yeah.
Well, you know what? That's the thing about that film is it generates strong opinions for and against, and in a way it succeeds on that level.
Yeah, it had some good moments in it, but it really just kind of dragged on a lot. And, yeah, I found Miranda July's character a bit annoying, yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing I loved the most about that movie was the online romance between a six-year-old and a frustrated middle-aged woman. I thought that was the best online romance I've ever seen in a film. So it had its moments.
The kids were believable. I liked the
kids were great.
Things with the kids were really good.
Kids were the best thing in the movie, without question.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Callie. You're on cable.
Call again or contact customer service.
Oh, I talk to her a lot.
Yeah.
Do we have another caller on the line? We do. Good morning. You're on KBOO.
Good morning. Two movies that you didn't mention, I don't believe, that I really liked were the Korean film, A Tale of Two Sisters.
Didn't see that one.
I didn't see that one. That was very good. Yes.
It's excellent. And the Spanish film, A Perfect Crime.
Didn't see that one either.
I missed that one.
Were they film festival films?
No.
No?
No, Tale of Two Sisters is a good, not really a horror film, but just a very bizarre, creepy movie. It was wonderful.
Well, I was out of commission for a while this year after surgery, and Dawn was as well, and so that we managed to miss about a month and a half of film.
Yeah.
So
put them on your list.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay.
Did you have a film that really irritated you last year?
Well, I was really disappointed in Broken Flowers.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That was a big disappointment.
Yeah,
Jim Jarmusch. I'm a Jim Jarmusch fan, but that just didn't make it.
You know what was great in that movie? The music.
Yeah, the music was good.
Yeah, okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
Sure, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. I believe we have another caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. So I apologize if you've already covered this one. Because
no problem.
I've been in and out of the room. But I didn't hear any mention of Hustle and Flow.
Well, I didn't see it, and...
I did. It is very good. It's not my personal cup of tea, but for what it is, it's the kind of film that you think it's going to be your standard rags to riches criminal rap guy. But it's a very, very well-made film. It really, really is.
And I'm very impressed with Terrence Howard, the actor.
Yeah.
Seeing him in Crash, he's one of the bright spots in that film.
But yeah, I like the woman said, it went places I didn't expect it to go. It goes outside the genre. I just thought it was very good.
What else?
That's the one thing that really sticks out to my mind.
Uh-huh. Did you have a film that annoyed the hell out of you last year?
No.
Good for you.
We don't go to that many, so...
Well, you're a lucky guy.
It's pretty good before we go.
Okay.
He listens to us, and then he takes our suggestions, and he doesn't see any bad films.
That's a good idea.
That's a good part of it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, caller. You're on KBOO.
Good morning.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
We're good, thank you.
Great. You know, I love your show. I listen to it quite a bit. And yes, I do take your advice sometimes because when I do see the films, sometimes I go, yeah, I should have listened to them. But there were a lot of stinkers out there this year. The biggest one that comes to mind, though, is, and you've already covered it, was Bewitched. I can't stand that movie. It was so formula and awful. I didn't think too much of The Wedding Crashers. I thought it was okay. There was a couple laughs. But I didn't think that movie had the expectations built too high for me. I think it was more formula than anything. But the better movies that I saw, A Beautiful Country, was that last year with Nick Nolte?
That was the year before.
Oh, too bad, because it was way under the radar. It was a beautiful movie.
I like that movie, too, yes.
And I never heard a whole lot about it. When I saw the DVD, I just about went over, my sister and I both went over the top for that. Anyway, Revenge of the Sith, I was kind of under expecting on that, and it came through in a big way. At the end of that movie, I really felt like I came back around as a young man. When I saw that first movie, I almost felt like I was young. You know, it's like I first came back to that same point, you know.
Well, that was pretty good. It's certainly the best of the first three parts of the story. And I have to say that he lowered our expectations so much that Revenge of the Sith really paid off for him.
Yeah, I think that was a good idea, actually. And Serenity also was a movie that I really enjoyed. And but that's about it for me. There's some other stinkers when I can't remember them, but
good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wipe them clean from your memory.
Oh man, you just think, man, I just wasted a Saturday night with this movie, and
not to mention $7.50.
Well, yeah, I used to wait till they come to DVD. I don't take chances on the big movies or those things.
Hey, listen, thanks a lot. We're going to take one more caller.
Okay, thanks.
Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I just want to mention a movie I just saw the other day, which made me think of my niece. It was Mean Girls.
Oh,
With Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
And that was surprisingly good. I've watched it twice.
Was that 2005?
That was 2004.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because that was a terrific movie.
Yeah, it wasn't Heathers. I advise you to take a look at Heathers, which is a few years old now. But it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. And this whole idea of the mean girl phenomenon is kind of amazing. What else have you seen that you like? We got about a minute and a half, I guess.
Oh, well, there was this French movie called Intimate Strangers. It's by the same guy who made Man on the Train. And he's a great director, and I don't know his name offhand. Man on the Train was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm straining to remember. Maybe I missed the film completely. I don't know.
But then last year came out Intimate Strangers.
Uh-huh.
And nobody mentioned Amelie. I mean, no, excuse me.
Well,
the next one, The Long Engagement.
Oh,
that was last year as well.
That was 2004 also.
That was on my top list. That was one of my very favorite films of last year, actually. That is just a wonderful, wonderful film.
Okay, well, that's all I had in mind.
Well, listen, thanks very much.
Thanks.
And in general, I'd like to thank all of our listeners and all of our callers. I think we have the best listeners on KABU, and we really thank you very much for your support for this. Thank our underwriters for their support for this thing. Doug and Dawn, Doug, thank you very much for coming on the show, being my colleague and partner on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Don, always happy to have you here. I'm hoping you'll decide to become a permanent part of the family.
Well, thank you for having me. And, yeah, I'm going through my little technical training this month and going to learn to work the board.
Become a legit KABU volunteer.
Be a legit KABU volunteer.
I know we have a winner. I don't have a winner yet. But, again, thanks, everybody, very much. Remember the... we now have an email address for Movie Talk, which is kabumovietalk@yahoo.com. I'm taking the rest of the month off. Doug will be running the show next time. And I'll see you in February, and I'll see you guys around.
Okay.